listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, the COVID Call-In Show with YKHC. Good morning, and thank you for joining us here on Wellness Wednesday. I'm Wellness Programming Producer Ellis Lachlan. Today we have Dr. Hodges and Brian Lefferts on the phone from YKHC to answer your questions about COVID. COVID is ever-changing, and I know we have a lot of questions, so if you'd like to call in, we're here at 543-5985 or toll-free at 1-800-995-8954. If you want to ask an anonymous question via email, you can also email those to me, lelle@kyuk.org. Until I hear from any listeners, I'll turn it over to Brian and Dr. Hodges. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Good morning, Dr. Hodges.
Good morning, Brian.
I'm happy to be on the radio again with you to talk about COVID. But, unfortunately, things haven't been... Oh, my gosh, I'm getting a little bit feedback. I'm wondering if maybe you could... I think this week we're primarily going to be focusing on vaccinations, but I thought maybe we could start with a little bit of an overview. I don't know if you have the active cases in front of you, or if you wanted me to kind of give a picture of where we're at right now.
Well, yeah, sure. Let me talk a bit about active cases, and then maybe you could talk about contact tracing and how many people are on quarantine and stuff. So we have about 219 active cases. We have continued to see our cases increase, which is something that has been noted, you know, statewide and kind of nationwide. I don't think we've yet reached the peak of the cases in our region yet. And we're continuing to see people requiring hospitalization and medevac, you know, to a higher level of care as well, which is sort of alarming because I think probably most people have seen that there's a real shortage of critical care beds and, you know, hospital beds in general in the state. So that's always kind of alarming. So it's a good thing to talk about vaccines today and some of the prevention things that we can all do to kind of do our part to help with the pandemic. But how many people are on quarantine just from being close contacts?
Well, we have over 1,400 people on the list right now as, close contacts who are within 14 days of their exposure to somebody who's had COVID right now. So that's the highest number by far that we've seen, you know, in the last several months. I think a couple of things are fueling that. That's across 32 different communities where we have active cases right now. So a big portion of the YK Delta. About a week ago, I got a report from the state of Alaska on the variants in the region. And it was interesting to me, you know, it's been a while since we talked about this, but in May, we started seeing the Alpha variant. For people who don't remember that, that was the one that first appeared in the UK, I think it was. And, it was concerning because it was quite a bit more infectious than the strain we saw before that. But it was quickly replaced by the Delta variant, both in Alaska, the United States, and here in the YK Delta. And we started seeing Delta variant cases in July, and we saw a slight uptick in the number of new cases when the Alpha variant was here. Over, we'd seen a pretty steady decline in February, March, April, May, and then once the Alpha variant came here, end of May and June, it started to increase again. But when the Delta variant replaced the Alpha variant in July, it's really skyrocketed since then. And, the July numbers, we saw 200 active cases in August, there were over 600, and we're halfway through September, and we've already seen another 400 cases this month. So It's definitely on the rise, and I think a lot of that has to do with the variant that we're seeing that's just so much more infectious than previous variants.
Yeah, it definitely is more infectious. I think the other concern about it is that it might be a little bit more dangerous for young people. There's a couple of studies that came out of the United Kingdom that showed possibly more hospitalizations and deaths associated with the Delta variant. There's not a lot of U.S.-based data for that yet. Those observational reports are still ongoing, but I think that's very concerning, too. So not only is it more catchy, it's probably more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the good news, though, and, that's all sad news, but the good news is that the vaccine's still doing its job to protect from severe infection, hospitalizations, and death.
Yeah, no, that vaccine is doing a great job, and that is very good news. It's very reassuring. They're still very, very highly effective against those things that we really, really worry about, for sure. Maybe we could talk a little bit about our vaccination rates in our region. Do you have that information, or should I pull that up?
Yeah, I know I have it here. So there's a couple different ways that we talk about vaccination rates. You know, we can talk about fully vaccinated individuals, and that's someone who's received who has passed 14 days past their second dose of Pfizer or Moderna shot, or a couple weeks past their single dose of the Johnson & Johnson. And then we also provide sometimes rates by the proportion of the eligible population. Uh-huh. And so the amount of the YK Delta, the percentage of the total population who's considered fully vaccinated or fully protected from the COVID vaccine from COVID is 51%. We have 56% of the total population has received at least a single dose. So there's another 5% or so of our population who received one dose, but they need to come back and get that second dose. And that's really important. Because we see a much stronger protection from individuals who have received both doses of vaccine than individuals who have received a single dose of the vaccine. Also, we talk about the percentage of the eligible population who have received the vaccine. And that's, we kind of talk about that because, we want to know the proportion of the entire population who's been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. To know how much protection, like herd protection, we might have. But we talk about the proportion of eligible individuals who have been populated or vaccinated within the population, because that tells us how many people haven't been vaccinated that could be. This kind of allows us to set some goals as an organization and as a region for reaching out to people and encouraging them to go get the vaccine. So we've had 67% of the eligible population have been fully vaccinated right now. So that's individuals that are 12 and older. And so that means that we've got about a third of the population who could receive the vaccine but haven't yet.
We have a caller.
Great.
Good morning.
Welcome, Tim from Bethel.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I'm fully vaccinated, and I had a breakthrough infection that lasted about a week until today, and feel much better. This day was the worst last night, I guess, where I had a little bit of congestion both in the nose and the lung. And today I feel so much better, almost back to normal. I just like to provide a personal testimony to people that are unvaccinated. They should get vaccinated. Otherwise, this might have turned out to be something a lot more serious than it would have been for me. And I know the story is different in various people and how it affects other people, but thanks to the prayers of many and also the vaccines that were provided, I think mine is back in February, but it minimized a lot of symptoms, and it seemed like it shortened the period of time to recover. I'd just like to put in a good word for vaccinations. Please get vaccinated. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. That's, couldn't have said it better myself. Why don't we talk a little bit about kind of vaccine policies or mandatory vaccination policies? So one of the things, you know, YKHC has announced that we have mandatory vaccination for all employees, and the federal government recently announced that all employers who have greater than 100 employees will have to either have vaccination or test on a weekly basis. I think the LA Public Schools, right, they're mandating mm-hmm. vaccine for students and staff. And City of Bethel just announced that they're mandating vaccine for all employees. So, Ryan, why do you think that's a good idea?
I was really excited to hear that about the City of Bethel. I'm part of YKHC for taking a leadership role here and being one of the first in the region, at least, to adopt a mandatory vaccination policy. The vaccines protect the individuals. It's good workplace policy because, it's now that we have the Delta variant, the vaccine's a little bit less effective than it was at preventing infection, but people recover quicker and it is still pretty effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. But it's also, we talk about it not being quite as effective as it was at preventing infection, but it's still actually pretty effective at that too. We've seen a lot of studies out there saying you can still have over 60% effectiveness at preventing preventing mm-hmm. infection still from the vaccine. So that can help keep your employees at work, you know, even if they were exposed. Somebody that had COVID-19, they're 60% less likely to actually get COVID-19 if they've been fully vaccinated. They don't have to quarantine if they're just a close contact. And so it can, it helps us to keep our employees at work and keep all those essential functions that we do going and in place here in the region. So we're seeing more and more organizations, I think, around, I guess in here in the region and in the state and around the country adopting mandatory vaccination policies. And I think it helps that the vaccine has now been, at least the Pfizer vaccine has been fully approved by the FDA, fully licensed. And so right after that happened, we saw the federal government require that and, the military and now, we're seeing some other groups adopt similar things as well. So I think that, protects workers for schools that adopt it. It protects the students. And, there's a long history of vaccines being a requirement for doing things like attending school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can remember having to go get a booster MMR dose around the same time my younger brother needed his first dose. for sure. Yeah, I think that's a good point. A lot of vaccines are required for both military and school is a good example. YKHC has required the flu vaccine for many years. That's another good example of vaccine mandates and requirements. And I think you make a good point that the vaccine is very effective against severe disease, hospitalization and death, and still pretty effective for the, for not getting infected in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're here, and they're coming out with some for some individuals who might not have had as robust a protection from two vaccines. Those are individuals, the first two shots. Those are individuals who have maybe are taking drugs that might suppress their immune system, or their body may not have built as much of a robust response to that, and so getting a third dose for those individuals could help make that even more effective to preventing infection and more effective at preventing hospitalizations. I know that the federal government, by the Biden administration anyways, has asked to look at booster doses for the rest of the population. You know, there's some meetings at the FDA here Friday to consider whether booster doses are going to be offered for everyone who has received the vaccine, and we'll find out about that soon, but that might help boost it to back to those higher levels of protection that we saw earlier on. But even so, you know, 50 to 60% effective at preventing infection is really effective.
Oh, yeah, that's really effective. And I think our caller also testified to it. I mean, the people who do get infected often don't get as sick. They can have asymptomatic infections or even mild infections. So I always, when someone tests positive, I'm always relieved if they're vaccinated. But yeah, that third dose for anyone who is immune compromised, that's really important. We want to make sure that everyone who has an immune condition that would qualify for a booster calls us and gets a booster right away. So that's people who are getting cancer treatment, people who've had organ transplants, anyone with taking medicine that might affect their immune system, like sometimes our arthritis patients with rheumatoid arthritis are on medicines that might make their immune system not work as well. So all those people really need to get them in. And I guess once the FDA meets on Friday, maybe we'll have more news about boosters as well, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, it's my body, my choice. You know, they have concerns about mandatory vaccination policies, but we have a long history of vaccines being required in schools. Can you speak to that at all? And can you, you know, why are there mandatory vaccination policies?
Yeah. So often this goes back to kind of protecting the public. So it's a little bit analogous to drunk driving laws. So you are allowed to drive your car on roads and things like that, but you can't drive drunk. And the reason for that is you might hurt yourself, and we definitely don't want people to hurt themselves, but you can also hurt other people. And so that's one of the reasons to have vaccines against these infectious diseases that can spread and harm other people. So if I caught COVID, even though I'm fully vaccinated, if I caught COVID, I could maybe not get very sick, but I might spread it to a coworker who has an immune condition that I don't know about and didn't make enough antibodies, and that person could get sick and die. Or I could pass it on to a child who's unable to be vaccinated, and they could pass it on to an elder whose immune system doesn't work as well. And so these kinds of vaccine mandates are meant to protect everyone in the public, because we're all part of the same community, and it's especially true in all regions, but it's really true out here where we see so many people living in congregate settings and in crowded households, and it's really meant to protect the entire community. And I've heard it said so many times, you know, no one is safe until everyone is safe. And I think that's especially true with COVID. Until we can get the surge of cases down and stamp this disease out, none of us are going to be safe. And the more people, one of the things that I worry about is this Delta variant sort of turned up this summer, kind of out of the blue, and we didn't expect it. And I'm worried about other variants that might come up, and maybe we'll come across a variant that could escape the vaccine, meaning that you could get sick with something that the vaccine isn't effective against, because the vaccine is effective against the Delta variant. And the more people who have the infection in the community, the more likely there could be a mutation in the virus as it replicates that could cause this kind of mutation that might escape from the coverage of the vaccine. So I worry about that a lot too. That's just one more reason for everyone who's eligible to get vaccinated. I know, Brian, we talk a lot about kids, and so everyone aged 12 and older are eligible to get vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine. How are we doing with kids getting vaccinated in our region?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're off to a decent start, but amongst, you know, as you said, anybody 12 and older can get vaccinated. And those 12 to 15 year olds were the ones who most recently were included as being eligible for receiving the shot. But actually here in the Waikato Delta, only about a third of our 12 to 15 year olds are actually vaccinated. interestingly, this group received some of the most protection from the vaccine. Our data here in the YK Delta shows that this is it's extremely effective amongst 12 to 15-year-olds at preventing just them from even getting infected. You know, we talk a lot about it protecting against hospitalization, death, and there's less serious disease amongst 12 to 15-year-olds in COVID. But this is very effective at preventing them from actually even getting infected. Mm-hmm. And so then they're much less likely to spread it to their classmates who are unvaccinated or to their family members who maybe are vaccinated or unvaccinated. And so, you know, really recommend if you have a 12 to 15-year-old that they get vaccinated, and especially if they want to do any high-risk activity like participating in sports or even just hanging out with their friends, you know. It's going to school. Being vaccinated at that age group is really important, and we're lagging quite a bit in that age group behind the rest of the population. I do want to say it's super safe, too. We've had, in the United States alone, there's been over 7.5 million 12 to 15-year-olds who've been vaccinated. So at this point, there's a ton of safety data available on that age group, and, you know, it's a safe vaccine that's highly effective.
Yeah, it's very effective. I know one of the things that came out in the beginning with some of these COVID vaccines is this concern about heart inflammation. It's called myocarditis. Mm-hmm. And it's a kind of a scary thing that can happen to people who get vaccinated, but it occurs much, much higher in people who actually get COVID. In fact, that's one of the problems that we have with our kids who get COVID is that they can get heart inflammation, and it's so much more common with the actual COVID disease than it is with the vaccine. It's pretty rare, about 2.7 in 100,000 people, mostly males who get younger males who get vaccinated could possibly get myocarditis. But I would say it's really common in our kids who get COVID, probably about close to 40 times higher with the actual disease of actually getting the infection. It's really scary. Most of the cases associated with vaccine are very mild. Most don't require treatment at all, and kids recover right away. But some of those ones associated with COVID can cause some long-term heart damage, which is really scary.
Yeah, you know, again, just another great case for getting kids vaccinated as soon as they're mm-hmm. eligible. You know, those 12 to 15-year-olds. My son turns 12 in a couple of days, and he's super excited to get vaccinated. We're super excited that he can get vaccinated, and you know, we want to protect him from complications from COVID, like myocarditis, and the best way to do that is to get him vaccinated. I think a lot of people don't realize that over half of the cases that we have in the YK Delta are in kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, this vaccine can actually prevent infection. It's extremely effective at preventing infection in those kids. And if we're able to prevent those infections, not only does it protect those kids, it protects it lowers our overall rates and protects the entire community because there's fewer kids giving it to other individuals in the community, especially individuals who might be unvaccinated or immunocompromised, who can then, you know, fill up those ICU beds. And, you know, as you said earlier, we're out of ICU beds in Alaska. This is a terrible time to have any complication at all that requires advanced care because all of our beds are full.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, yeah, especially in our kids, we're seeing really highly effective from protection from the vaccine and very few cases in our infected or in our fully vaccinated individuals, which is really nice. You know, I heard another kind of piece of misinformation about the vaccine not that long ago about how it might affect fertility in men and women. And there have been a lot of published studies in the scientific literature really debunking that theory. There's no effect on fertility. There's males or females, and it's even safe for pregnant and breastfeeding women to get vaccinated. They did a pretty big study showing that women who were pregnant who received the vaccine were no more likely to have complications from their pregnancy than a group of than an identical group that was unvaccinated. And in fact, one of the scariest things about COVID is that it does make pregnant women sicker than usual. They're about 2 to 3 times higher risk for dying and about 2 to 3 times higher risk for having to be in an intensive care unit. So I think for people who are listening to this who are pregnant or breastfeeding, you know, the best thing you can do for yourself and your baby to protect your baby and protect yourself is to get vaccinated right away. I think especially women who are pregnant and breastfeeding, they worry about how, you know, medicines and vaccines like this might affect the baby, but we have some really good studies that show that it's safe for our pregnant women and our breastfeeding moms. In fact, some of the antibodies from the vaccine, if the mom gets vaccinated while she's pregnant, can pass through the placenta and help protect the baby after the baby is born. And that's a really nice thing, too, because babies can't be vaccinated. Newborns can't be vaccinated. So that's one way to protect the baby. And then same thing with breastfeeding. They did this great study showing that those antibodies show up in the breast milk. So if the baby is breastfeeding, they can have some protection against getting infected with COVID and having some of those complications that we were talking about, as long as and the baby's protected while the mom is breastfeeding. So those are some really nice things to think about, too.
Yeah, boy. I mean, I just keep hearing over and over and over again, you know, it's really the same message. The vaccine is totally safe. It's one of the safest vaccines that's ever been produced. It's been given to hundreds of millions of people around the globe and studied closer than probably any other vaccine, you know, and it's just so effective. It works. And so it's not dangerous and it's effective and it can keep people safe. And so, you know, I think we just really want to get that message out. Why people from YKHC are available. If people have questions about the vaccine and you're unsure about it, or you have a specific question about its safety or about its effectiveness, you know, I know we're standing by. We have providers here willing to talk to people at any time to answer any of those questions that people might have. You know, understandably, some people are confused. There's a lot of misinformation out there. And we want to just do what we can to help answer those legitimate questions that they have, and so that they feel comfortable coming in and getting vaccinated. That protects them, and it protects everybody around them.
Yeah. What are some of the sources that you'd recommend, Brian, if someone was interested in getting information, maybe if they have access to the internet? What are some places that people could go to look for information that's scientifically accurate and up to date?
Okay. Well, yeah, to start with, I mean, YKHC.org has some great stuff. Mm-hmm. We have a team here at YK that looks at a lot of different publications, both from the government, peer-reviewed literature. We talk frequently with the state of Alaska. And we do our own analysis of these studies, make sure that they're good studies, performed well, and then look at the data and put a summary of that on our website, talking about what's safe. And so that's a great place to start. The CDC also does a phenomenal job with that. I recommend people go to the CDC. They have people who are dedicated health professionals. They really just care about the health of our nation and everyone who lives here. And they review tons of different scientific literature. And then all of their recommendations on their website, if you look, they'll include links to all the publications that they used in order to make those recommendations. So that's another great place to go. You can read their recommendation, read their science briefs, and then they have links to all the summaries of the peer-reviewed literature that they used to get to that. So a couple great sources there. You know, JAMA, Journal of American Medical Association, CDC, and MWRs. Those are great peer-reviewed publication sites that are well-trusted and respected medical journals that go through a very robust peer review literature process to make sure that the recommendations that get published have been, you know, vetted by the medical community. So there's a lot of places out there that don't do that. You know, there's anybody can buy a domain and or start an organization if they want with any name. So, you know, you have to be wary just looking at the title of an organization before you and going with their recommendation. Look into those organizations and see, like, how are they created, who actually do they represent, that sort of thing, and go with trusted sources that have been around for a while.
Yeah, no, it looks like we're close to the end of our hour here. Thanks for chatting with me about vaccines and COVID, and hopefully everyone out there who isn't vaccinated can go ahead and get an appointment to get vaccinated as soon as possible.
Okay, great. Thanks. Thanks for having us, KYK, and thanks, Tim, for calling in.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Visit us anytime at kyuk.org or tune in wherever you listen every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.